Go get it. Love song. I was like, okay. And then we started rocking. You ready to rock? All right, listen. I'm about to talk to the community. I'm about to be real with you today, okay? This is a very important session. How many of you want to scale your business? How many of you want to have a predictable, profitable, turnkey operation that you don't even have to think about? How many of you went to our company this morning? You know, if you stopped by there during the daytime, you wouldn't have any idea how many millions of dollars they're doing. They just quietly run the systems, and we are so profitable and things go so well that I rarely, check on the numbers and things like that. Don't tell Ellen Rohr, but I stopped doing that a long time ago. It's right there on QuickBooks Online. If I ever want to look at the stats, I got them, right? Come to find out, they added $973,000 to that business last year, and I wasn't even there. I worked 20 minutes last year on that business. I did 4 or 5 minute interviews. I went to the Christmas party. That's the truth. You can ask Johan, ask Scott, you can ask my wife, she works there now. Which, by the way, in a little while, Mrs. Phenomenal is going to take the stage. Hey, it's going to get real right now, but it's about to get very real. Because you never know what Denise Partridge might say. Christian, while you're back there, can you get that door for me? Just close that door. I got this thing. I love the doors to be closed. I'm sorry? Am I going to stay in the room? You know, I was thinking, okay, I'm gonna take the closest seat to the back door so I can just slip out if I need to. Nice knowing you guys, okay? But I decided what I'm going to do instead is I'm going to MC the conversation. Uh-huh. Chief found him a little trick, didn't he? Like, because I asked Denise, can I ask you a question? She's like, nope. She'd been down that road. But today, I get to ask the questions and also control the microphones. So you need three things to have a phenomenally successful business. If you want a predictable, profitable, turnkey operation, you need three things. I shared that with you this morning. I share it with you in basic training. What are those three things? Everything rises and falls on? You need the right systems. So we have our org chart here on the screen. And so you need to have systems all the way through those levels, right? By the way, if you don't know those 12 boxes right there, if you don't know our organizational chart, you don't know Inner Circle. Just saying. You don't know. That's a core part of the system. You got to have a vision. You got to have an org chart. You got to have PRDs. You got to have policies and procedures. What I want to talk to you about today is people. For the longest time, I said, hey, you can have the best people in the world, but if they don't have a system to run on, they're not going to be as successful. You're not going to be as successful as you could be. And that's true. At the same time, You can have all the systems you want if you don't have the right people. One of the best books I ever read as a business owner was a book called Beyond Entrepreneurship by Jim Collins. How many of you have heard of Jim Collins from Good to Great? One of the first books that he ever wrote was for small business owners. Did you know that? It's called Beyond Entrepreneurship. And his mentor, Bill Lazier, passed away. They had written that book together. And Jim, I was at a Dave Ramsey conference, and Jim Collins was speaking. He said, I'm going to redo that book, and I'm going to update that book. And I couldn't wait. I waited for that thing for like 2 years. It finally came out. And they included the entire original version of Beyond Entrepreneurship. And then he had Jim's 2020 view. In other words, looking back on that book, what would I say about it today, 10 years later? And he decided that there was one area, if there was anything that wasn't in that book, that needed to be in that book, and he wrote an entirely new chapter. And here's the title of the chapter: Great Vision Without Great People is Irrelevant. Great vision without great people is irrelevant. A phenomenal vision without phenomenal people is irrelevant. Because if you got a phenomenal vision, how many of you know if you have a dream but no team, you have to give up the dream or build up the team? If you have a phenomenal dream but not the greatest people. Now listen, when I talk to people, I need you to understand that every human being on planet Earth is phenomenal. We all have the same exact inherent value. And if you know Christ, you're all the same except for one thing, and that is how you use the gifts that you have. Human beings are all phenomenal. God don't make no junk. But what are we doing with those gifts? We measure a lot of things. We talk about KPIs, and Jim Collins said, asked this question. He said, what percentage of your key seats do you have filled with the right people? If your answer is less than 90%, you've just identified your number one problem. To build a truly phenomenal company, you'll need to strive for having 90% of your key seats filled with the right people. See, these key seats, if you don't have these key seats filled, then who's going to have to do it? And if you have people who aren't showing up the way that they need to show up, you're going to have to micromanage. You're going to have to be involved, correct? Jim Collins said the most important decisions that business people make are not what decisions, but who decisions. In Good to Great, he said what? First, get the right people on the bus. Did you meet some of the right people this morning? Do we have the right people on our team? Do you have any idea how hard it is to put together something like this just for 100 or two people? Give my team a big hand clap. Has one of my team members loved on you since you've been here? Helped you, served you? Yes. Mr. Tom Ziegler is going to be in the house tomorrow morning. Yay. And listen, I still do a lot of work at Ziegler, but I don't do the work. Alexandra Ziegler does my Ziegler work. She's been with me for 5 years now. So I started thinking about scaling up. Jeff and Nick got me to thinking about scaling, and franchising, and, you know, people use this word scale, and typically when they're using this word scale, again, they're not talking about small dollars, are they? Usually when they're talking about scaling, I was with a guy yesterday, he was in a boot camp, I was just introduced to him, and his garage door business does $82 million. $82 million. He started by himself with $50,000 in debt. He was exactly where some of you guys are. He's not even 40 years old yet. So I asked him. I got to meet him through a friend. How many of you know that all of business, all relationships, or all of life and all of business is about relationships, right? So I was invited to this little get-together the other day on Monday. There's going to be some home service professionals there. Alan O'Neill was going to be there, which Alan couldn't make it. And Tommy Mello is going to be there. So Tommy Mello. Now, look, this guy did $82 million last year in his garage door business, plus he owns all these other businesses, and he said he came all the way here because he wanted to meet me. I said, wait, you know I'm not doing $100 million a year yet. Okay, I mean, you know. But here's what the guy knows. He's really smart. He read my book on the plane on the way home yesterday and wrote notes from a whole page of notes on which, you know, what page it was on and all this kind of stuff. He's a student of business. You got to be a student. Where you end up, whether you have a $1 million business or a $100 million business, doesn't matter except for one thing, and that is that you're doing what you're supposed to do. It's not about the amount of money. It's about, are you doing what you're supposed to be doing? Sherry was with us the other day. Sherry, do you think that I might be able to add a little bit of value to Tommy Mello in one way or another?
Yes.
Okay. That was easy. So I got one of the top books on scaling. It's called Scaling Up. What do you think? There's four parts to this. Look at the very first part. There are four parts. Attracting and keeping the right people. Can I tell you something? If you want to grow your business, you can't do it by yourself. Let me say that another way. If you want to scale up your business, you want to really grow your business, you can't do it without phenomenal people. Correct? Right? Then you need strategy. Somebody said it earlier. They quoted Jim Collins, culture eats strategy for breakfast. Because you got to have leadership. You got to have culture. You got to have people. You got to have the right people on the bus. Driving, and then next is driving flawless execution. What do we call that? We call that implementation, right? And then having plenty of cash to weather storms. I have one of our, Michelle Thomas. Michelle, raise your hand right here. Michelle is a CPA, and she also has a, what do you call it, great day taxer? Great day tax relief. How many of you know when you have to pay less taxes, you get your taxes paid on time without penalty, that it's a great day? And you have relief. So I think she named her business the right thing. Dan Sullivan wrote a book called Who Not How. See, our brains are trained to think, well, how am I going to do this? You have a vision, you have an idea, and you want to pursue this idea. The first thing that most people think about is, how do I do it? Right? It's just how we're wired. But we need to ask a different question. Who can help me do it? Who can help me do it? How many of you have heard of Michael Jordan? Just making sure you're awake. Greatest basketball player who ever lived? possibly one of the greatest athletes of our time. Now listen, I don't want to take anything away from Michael Jordan. In fact, Denise and I went out to see Sherry Perry and Dean Perry went out to their beautiful home in Washington. And they got this big, huge, you know, comfortable sectional that you could have an inner circle meeting in. And big screen TV, you know. And we watched this 10-part documentary called The Last Dance. It was all about Michael Jordan's career. And, man, you can learn a lot about leadership with that series. And one thing, I think the thing that really set Michael Jordan apart was not just his talent. He had talent. But there was really two things. One, he's so competitive as a person. If he was in here with this disc golf thing over there, he'd be over there betting you money, betting you a dollar. Like, they're playing, when they would go to games, he'd be playing for big money. Homeschool kids, don't gamble. But they would be at the back of the bus, and they were playing for big money. The guys on the front of the bus, the rookies, they're playing like for a dollar just to pass the time. He's like, hey, man, let me get in on your game. And they were like, we're playing for a dollar. You want to get in? Yeah, let me show you what I got. He was just competitive. But here's the fact. Michael Jordan would not have won 6 championships without Scottie Pippen and Phil Jackson. That's a fact. That is a fact. You need a dream team. Too bad we don't have balloons anymore. That's a balloon pop. Okay. Who? A method for hiring. Who is your number one problem, not what? We have the what. What did Jeff repeat up here this morning that I told that young man, 23 years old? Do what we tell you to do. Not because Howard knows everything, but because I have surrounded myself with people. I learned something from Gary Keller a long time ago, and he said this. He said, don't do the best that you can. Whatever you do, do it the best that it can be done. So you got to have other people who are experts, and that's what community is about, having people like Ellen Rohr in financial, having people in leadership, you know, like John Maxwell, and people like, you know, Rick Jones and people like that, and other people who have already done what you want to do. So the strategies, the systems that we've created, that's just the best way that it can be done. But one thing we can't do for you, at least this is not something I do right now, is find, attract, and hire the right people and you know, lead your people for you. You're going to get the slides too. Who is your number one problem, not what? What refers to the strategies you choose, the products and services you sell, and the processes you use. You can spend your whole career chasing solutions to the million what problems plaguing your business. That is what most managers do. Unfortunately, focusing solely on what means you will continue to feel stressed, make less money than you desire, and lack the time to do what you want. Or today, you can decide to focus on the who. One of the challenges that we have had in Inner Circle is solving our sales problem. We need people, a salesperson. Now, I've got people that are willing to help, and we've got some solutions. But based on what's happened this last quarter and where we're going, I finally decided to find a who. Santiago and I have known of a phenomenal individual who develops sales teams. Best that I know of in the world. So I finally decided to reach out to her. Known about her for years. Santiago and I talk about her twice a year. Well, maybe we should call Caitlin. Caitlin's in the room. She's sitting next to my wife back there. Okay? And she likes you. She wants to be involved with us. So she's going to help us build a sales team. We're going to take all the folks, like Sherry's team has volunteered to help out. So anybody who wants to help us with sales, she's going to build that team, run that team, and help us get that scaled up and get ready to award franchises. Not sell franchises, award franchises. People ask me all the time, you know, how do you find great people? And I've always, you know, and how do you have, my son asked me 6 months ago, he said, Howard, how do you have, Dad, I think he said, Dad, how do you have so many relationships with so many people for so long? I mean, Daryl Thomas is sitting at the back of the room. This guy I've known since what year? 2005, however many years that is. He's here as a volunteer because he believes in what we do. He has nothing to sell, nothing to offer. He's here because he's my friend. When I went to North Carolina to do my franchise training, Daryl picked me up, took me an hour to my appointment, came back a few days later, picked me up, and took me to the airport for two reasons. One, to help me, to serve me. And two, so that we could spend time together. So that's what I want to talk to you about today. And when people ask me, well, how do you build a team? How do you find people to work with you and put them on your team? I would always say, build your network. But I don't think people know what that means. But this might get your attention right here. Your network determines your net worth. Your network determines your net worth. Anybody ever heard of Bob Bodine? The Power of Who? Subtitle of this book is, you already know everybody you need to know. Because when you got who, as Bob Bodine says, you can call people who know people who know people who know people. Some people say that you're, what, 6 degrees away from, what's that? Removed from anybody in the world that you need to know, whatever it is. I don't know if that's true or not, but what I do know is that your net worth, and when I say your net worth, I don't mean just financial. I really, truly feel that I am the most blessed man on the planet. And the beautiful, I probably shouldn't use the word most because most indicates people are less blessed, but let me just say, I'm up there with you, okay? Because when you're blessed, you're not taking anything from anybody else, and just the favor that I've received every single day. Somebody stopped me this morning and said, can I pray for you today? Interesting story about Bob Bodine, who has a very successful recruiting company. So he recruits athletes, mostly in the college space. and he has a recruiting firm, and he places people. And an interesting thing happened one day. He got to know George W. Bush. He was working on a campaign with Ronald Reagan, with George Sr., and got to know George W., and they would be flying back and forth from New York and end up on the same plane, sit together and everything. And W. called him Bobby Boy. That was his nickname for Bob Odeen. He called him Bobby Boy. And George W. Bush called him one day. And he says, I want that baseball commissioner's job. Because, you know, W owned the Texas Rangers. He's the one that brought Nolan Ryan in. And Karl Rove was in tow and said, I think he should run for governor. And here's what George W. Bush said. He said, I don't think I can beat Ann Richards because she had like a stronghold on Texas. Not only did he become the governor of Texas, but was reelected, and then became what? President of the United States. Twice. I got to meet him at a picture, at an event, got a picture with him. And my company that some of you guys saw this morning, our company took care of his parents' home. I don't know George W. personally, but, you know, I always was a little jealous when I went to somebody's house and they had a picture with the president. So I said, well, at least it might cost me 10 grand, but I'll get a picture with the president. Anyway, they assume you know him. I don't know him. But if I really needed George W. Bush for a legitimate reason, I've seen him speak live twice. I don't know that I would hire him as a speaker necessarily. I'm just, you know, I mean, nothing. That sounded bad. That sounded wrong. W, if you're watching, see this video. I didn't mean anything by that, okay? But should we grow to 10,000 members and we got 10,000 people or 5,000 people showing up at our conference, do you think that we might be able to afford W? Well, wait. This whole if and when thing is, let me stop and explain this to you. I posted a picture. Somebody took a picture of me and made me 100 years old, you know, one of those Oldify apps. And I posted on Facebook and I said, if I reach 100, which I would like to look better than that, but it wasn't terrible. I could probably live with it, especially if I'm by myself on the beach, nobody's looking at me. But I said, if I turn on, I got so much flack. What are you talking about if, when? Well, first I got to decide if I want to turn 100. I don't think I want to, maybe I don't want to be that old. I don't know. I haven't decided yet. It's probably not my business anyway. But when you decide that you want something and you should have it and you're going to do it, don't say if. You say when. So you're right. Bob Bodine said this, listen, if the guy who became president almost missed the clues to his destiny, it's easy to see how we could make the same mistake. The point of this story is, if you're going to fulfill your destiny in life, you're going to need some wise friends and advisors to help you see a vision of your future that perhaps you can't see yourself. That's community. That's mentoring. That's coaching. Someone who can see your gifts and see where you could be, and you can't see it yourself. I was there. Zig Ziglar had spoken on my stage. Maybe I had had lunch with Tom once in a while. I never asked Tom to be a coach or to work with him. Maybe I should have. Maybe I should have. But I had a mentor, a coach, Mark Ehrlich, who worked with Michael Gerber. And when I started working with him and I shared my vision, same vision I shared with you guys, a vision of having community groups, growth pods all over the country, people studying these business systems, their family being involved, their team being involved, everything that we do here, inner circle, around the world, his eyes lit up. He said, wow. He asked me this question. He said, what are you doing about this Ziglar relationship? It seems like I told somebody about this the other day, maybe in boot camp. And my answer was, anybody ever ask you a question, you like know that, man, I should be doing something, but I have no clue what I should be doing. And that's your pretty much your answer. You got to go to the bathroom. Give me a minute. Then I became friends with Michael Gerber, introduced him at his 80th birthday. He introduced me to Rudy Rudiger. Rudy Rudiger, the guy, the real guy of the movie Rudy, spoke at our conference. Bob Odine. What if each one of us had been given a key relationship in our lives that have been specifically placed there to help us in ways we never imagined? And what if those special people were not just happenstance acquaintances, but were instead strategic relationships meant to be actively involved in helping us find that place in life we always dreamed about? Could it be that we've missed the simplicity behind this mysterious thing called destiny? And what if the real problem of finding your destiny or finding your dream, achieving that goal, isn't about who you don't know, but whom you've neglected? I was neglecting Zig Ziglar. I knew Tom. Zig had spoken on my stage. We did a video before he came and spoke. And because of Mark Ehrlich prompted me, I hired him as my coach. When are you going to follow up with Ziglar? When are you going to go see Tom? When are you going to do this? When are you going to do that? Come to my conference. Where's all the air in the room? Where's all the joy? Did somebody steal all the suck all the air out of the room? I mean, I called him my tormentor. The guy wore all black, black suit, black shirt, black coat, black. He didn't wear, well, he when I first met him, he was wearing a black hat and a black coat. It was cold outside. Him and Michael Gerber were both dressed like that. And I said, oh boy, we got trouble here. Hands me his card. It says, Chief Negotiating Officer for Michael Gerber. Michael E. Gerber. Well, if you know Michael, negotiating with Michael is a one-way deal. And having somebody in between him and Michael with at least a little softer side, I mean, Mark had a little bit of a softer side, you know, finally got to it. I think I got one compliment in a year. But, I mean, he railed on me because he knew that I'm hard-headed and, you know, that I need somebody to hit me hard. So I followed up with Tom. Tom and I traveled all over the world. That picture right there on the top, we spoke at Cambridge University. I barely got out of high school. This was, I think, the second to the last appearance, public appearance, that Zig did. It was at one of our inner circle workshops. 80 people in line want to sit with me. And he wanted to talk to each and every person. We had to tell him, like, hey, we got to talk about being over time, over budget on the agenda. Like, we're going to blow the next two sessions because Sig wants to talk to everybody. I think this is the last time I saw him alive or with us here on earth. He's more alive today than ever before is what he would say. They introduced me to Dave Ramsey. He's endorsed two of my books. I met Sherry Perry through Ziegler. How much value has she added to this community? Amen. What about Michelle Prince? She comes and serves. By the way, we got a phenomenal presentation for you tomorrow that's new, it's different, that Michelle's going to bring. This entire conference is about building your network, and I'm going to give you 8 steps here in just a second. What about you guys? How many of you in this room, how many of you originally came to us through Ziegler? Let me see your hands. Keep them up. Keep them up. Quite a few of you. There's a handout in your package. It's called How to Scale Your Business with High Value Relationships. Y'all ready? Number one, you got to notice people. You got to notice people. Too many times we walk around like this. Blinders on. We're just thinking about what we got to do, what we got to get done, what we're doing right now. You got to notice. When you go to a networking group, I'm just going to share with you, I haven't fleshed out this presentation. I'm just trying to speak from the heart. I even asked some people to give me some input. Brenda went with me. I was with Joy Gendusa. By the way, they just crossed $100 million. She started with a cell phone and a computer. Scale it up. Anyway, I spoke for her, and Brenda was with me, and we did like a dinner cruise, everything. And she was just watching how I was networking with people. I do it naturally. How many of you know when it's something that you naturally do, there's something that you do naturally that I have no clue about, okay? I can't do. Everybody has a gift. And when that's just who you are, you just do it naturally without even thinking about it. You don't have to think about it. So it's hard to you can teach it, but you got to stop and think about it. So I've been thinking about it for about 6 months. And getting input from other people. And one of the things that I noticed that I do, everywhere I go, I'm noticing every single person who's in the space. Everywhere. When I walk out in that hallway, it's just automatic. I scan that hallway. Is there somebody I need to connect with? Is there somebody I need to encourage? Is there somebody I haven't met yet? Is there somebody who's not in our group that I need to connect with? Is there some guy that's changing light bulbs that I need to connect with because we might need something in here? And I need to know, I don't need the light bulb change yet, but I might need a light bulb change, so I might as well go ahead and find out his name, which is Gary. And he said, oh, well, do you have anybody in your group that does a, you know, fiduciary financial? And I said, I'm prosperous, but I don't really know what that means. But the answer is yes, we probably have somebody. So Andy, find Gary. He's got some kind of mutual fund or something. You know, who else is in here that's in financial planning? Okay, y'all go find Gary. He gave me his... I'm curious about people who give you their first name and their last name. They're working at the hotel, he's changing light bulbs. Gets his first name and his last name. He going somewhere. He's not just Gary. I don't remember the last name. Sorry about that. But anyway, you got to notice people, and you got to be present because you want people to notice you. Why do you want people to notice you? I have no idea what Gary and I might need to. This is what I need you to know. If you don't get anything else here today, get this. It doesn't matter if you have any clue how you can help each other, if you'll ever help each other, or any of that. It doesn't matter. Why did God put so many seeds in a watermelon? Was that like random, unexpected? To guarantee another will grow. Okay, because all the seeds ain't gonna make it. There's a little tiny goldfish in your vase right there. Anybody notice that? We should have put more in there, but we learn. Anything worth doing is, well, we don't know if that's worth doing or not, but anything worth doing is worth doing poorly until you can learn to do it well, right? Okay, so I had the crazy idea, let's put goldfish in there. All them goldfish that we brought over here didn't make it. Huh? No, we fed them, we did everything we're supposed to do. Listen, you can prepare the soil, you can plant, you can water, but all them watermelon seeds ain't gonna make it. So you gotta plant a lot of seed. And here's what I want you to get. It doesn't matter whether you need to know that person today or ever, because you don't know who's going to be in your community and who you're going to be able to help and who's going to be able to help you. You don't know. You have no idea.
Howard,
yes.
I made a $50,000 sale from a guy I bought a kayak from 2 years ago.
You made a $50,000 sale to a guy he bought a kayak from 2 years ago, and I can guarantee you this, that if Mac was a difficult customer, he would have never gotten that $50,000 sale, period. Huh? He must have loved you. I got a canoe, an oversized canoe in my backyard in Stallworth because I don't even own. Why is it there? Because I was with Michael Killen. We're in the convertible. We were having a dream day. We went over to the bay, and there were some people there. And they were doing something in the bay, and they're with the water department or whatever. So we had to stop, and I got to know what they're doing. This is, you're in my space. Okay? Well, it turns out that they treat the water, they check the water, whatever. And I was like, well, do you do anything at Stallworth Lake? And she said, oh, yeah, we do. But, man, it's tough over there because we have to put the canoe on this bank and just about kill ourselves to get into that, we have to walk all the way around the beach. I said, well, I live there. I'm on the lake. Put the canoe in my backyard. New friends. Guess what? They teach kids, they got a program that teach kids about the wildlife and the water and all that. I said, hey, we got a Destined Dream Retreat. We got this thing called Phenomenal Youth. By the way, let me pop the trunk. There's some books in the trunk. So you got three girls back there going through my trunk, getting books out and everything, big old smile. The guy was like, probably jealous. So anyway, y'all saw Elijah, right? Did y'all see Elijah Howard Partridge, my grandson?
Yes, sir.
So Denise and I took Denise to Fredericksburg, Texas. My son, Christian, had been talking about Fredericksburg, Texas, and the Texas Hill Country and all that, and how phenomenal it is. I said, so we're going to go out there. We're going to take Denise out there, take the kids out there. So Denise and Christian, Susie, and the babies went out there, and we went to this great place, and they had this awesome special. fried chicken, air-fried collard greens. Now, yeah, if you're from the South, you know about collard greens, but air-fried collard greens. I was like, and sweet cornbread. Oh, that was a sweet lunch. Man, I devoured that thing, and then it hit me. I was trying to get pictures of everything, you know, catalog the whole trip, and I didn't get a picture of my meal. So I'm walking around with Elijah in my arm, and how many of you know that everybody in that restaurant is watching me going back and forth? Everybody. This couple sitting there, older couple, and right as I walk by their table, the waitress serves the fried chicken plate that I had, and I said, oh, that was good. I said, except for one thing. They're like, what's that? I said, I never got a picture of it. Well, happened that the guy is a very successful multimillionaire, and he knows about networking. He knows about noticing people. He knows about getting somebody's cell phone in case he needs to get in contact with them. So he says, I'll be happy to take a picture. He ain't gonna let me take a picture of his meal. You know, he's smart. He's like, I'll be happy to take a picture of it and send it to you. Did I want to give somebody, I didn't know he was a multimillionaire, but I could tell by looking at him. Huh? You're in Fredericksburg. Oh, it gets better in Fredericksburg, let me tell you. So I give him my cell phone number because I want his cell phone number. I didn't give him my email, I gave him my cell phone number. So he sends me the picture, and, you know, I replied and went back over the table a little bit later. And he said, where are you guys from? I told him, I said, where are you from? He said, we live up in Enchanted Rock. And I'd just seen an advertisement in a window that said phenomenal property. Seriously, it said phenomenal. And Enchanted Rock, blah, 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 blah. Looked really beautiful. I said, oh, I just saw a flyer on that. He said, yeah, well, I got 35 acres up there. I got a ranch up there. When are y'all leaving? I said, well, we're leaving later this afternoon. He said, well, you should come by the ranch. I looked at him. I said, we just met, right? Like, you don't know me and you're inviting me to your ranch? He said, yeah, your granddaughter would really like the miniature donkeys. And he said this, I guarantee it'll be worth your while. And he said, so I said, okay. I asked Denise, and she said, okay, she wasn't crazy about it, but I said, okay. It's her birthday, too, you know, so she'll probably check with her. And, but I was intrigued, man, I was intrigued. And so get the address, and he tells me, he said, take the south entrance. Now, you know that if you got a south entrance and a north entrance, that you're probably not on a, you know, two-thirds of an acre. You know what I'm saying? It's like 35 acres. We pull up, and this is what we see. Big old skull. It was like Halloween. I said, oh, Lord, we are turning around. Until I read the sign. It says, notice. This ranch is politically incorrect. We say Merry Christmas, God bless America. We salute our flag, give thanks to our troops, police officers, and firefighters. If this offends you, you are welcome to leave. In God we trust. And man, I hit the gas and jumped into that driveway saying hallelujah. Pulled up and this is him, $300 shirt on. His name is Curtis. Outside on the property, there's like an old-timey fire engine. There's like, you know, old cars. There was a 1940s replica of a gas station. So we ride around, we feed the donkeys, we look at the longhorns, got about 40 deer out back, we'll feed them later. I'm like, what in the world? And then he pulls up to the barn, and I was like, what's inside? He said, well, you'll see. Then I started getting a little nervous. Now, I had Googled the guy before we drove an hour up there and everything, make sure that he's legitimate, you know. But still, we were like, okay, is this going to turn into a bad movie? So we go in, and you will not believe what we saw inside. Christian, hit that video. Terminator.
Because of this guy.
They wanted to get a picture with the Terminator.
That's exactly right.
I remember E.T. was one of the first extraterrestrials.
A stage. So, 50 seats, I counted.
There are two people that have changed the world of America.
Professional audio video. Happy Days Diner,
I'm
fully functional. In fact, turn the volume off, Christian. Go back just a little bit, because there's a lot to see in here. This is like, okay, his name is Curtis Royce, R-O-Y-S.
I never worried
got
about
a Terminator statue. There's a spaceship behind him.
They wanted to get a picture with the Terminator.
There's an Elvis Presley display. Got every kind of, you know, trinket. Okay, so this is like a 1950s Main Street. You got a Fender store. You got, don't look up there in the corner. That's Bates Motel up there. I wouldn't go up there. I was too scared. Happy Days Diner, fully functional. A chapel. Mannequins. That was weird. And I'm like, what is this? He said, well, I'm kind of a Disney character.
Curtis Royce, like, ladies weird. And gentlemen.
I said, why did you...
In real life.
Why did you build this place? He goes...
And he's over here with the king. Can't wait to hear this story.
Sold my company, and I was bored. How many of you know that he didn't sell that company for $500 and get bored and spend several million dollars? You know what I'm saying?
Oh, God.
All right, here's the king.
Honey,
we'll find out what's happening with this story here.
Out of my briefcase. I just feel like we should call Curtis right now. It said, yeah, why not? I mean, why do you start a conversation with somebody over fried chicken? I mean, you know. Guess how I met John Maxwell? Through Bob Berg. I was noticing, how do I meet people like, thank you, Donald Miller, people like that, thank you, sir. Donald Miller, people like that, I am watching them, I'm noticing that room, where do they leave the stage, which door did they go out, and which door are they likely to come, and I am going to be in their space. Tell you what, we'll call Curtis later because, were we that far over time? Anyway, that's how I met John. All right. I'm going to bring Denise up here in a minute. But number two is be genuinely interested in people. This is a Dale Carnegie thing. If you're not genuinely interested in people, you are going to have a hard time. Virtually impossible to build a network and to build a dream team and to build people around you that can help you get done what you need to get done. If you're not interested in people naturally, then you need to develop that desire to connect with people. If for no other reason, because of the outcome, start with that. I know that that's, you know, it's not right, but what will happen is you'll start to appreciate people more. I'll tell you a story about that in just a second. Denise can be in line with you at the grocery store, and she will know your whole life story before you check out. Period. Okay. As a matter of fact, One of our speakers tomorrow is a wonderful person. Her name is Kay. And Denise and I were on a flight from Destin back to Houston. And she was, I like to sit in the exit row. She didn't like to sit in the exit row. And so she sits somewhere else and she talks to the person next to her. And they got talking about how there's not good transportation, Uber and all that kind of stuff in Destin. So she told us about this company that has a private car service called 30A On Demand. So I reached out to Kay and Andrew, who own the company, and she also does nutrition and all this kind of stuff. And now when I go to Destin, they pick me up in a beautiful like Escalade or a Lexus SUV or something like that, and they refuse to charge me. So I've been coaching them on their business. And Kay and Andrew are in the room right now. Stand up, guys. Give them a big hand clap. You are going to love these people. So now they're coaching clients. They're phenomenal friends. I'm building a network in the Destin area. She's going to be sharing with you guys tomorrow. Number three. Listen to their story. Jim Cronitti, who is Ellen Rohr's partner in Zoom Drain, when Ellen first met him, she said she went out to do consulting with him, and she says, what time do you want me to pick you up? He said, 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Or what time do you want me to meet you? He said, 2 o'clock in the afternoon. She said, why so late? He said, well, because I don't go to the office until after the guys are gone, and I want to leave before they get back. He didn't like his employees. Now that company is very successful, and so I asked him. We had a game changer group. We didn't call it then, but we had a little pod up there. We had a group. Went up to Ellen Rohr's location, and I asked Jim, I said, what changed? He said, one time, one of the plumbers came back earlier than I expected, and we got in a conversation, and he told me his story. And it was then that I started caring about my employees. Today, he is one of the owners of the emerging franchise called Zoom Drain. Zoom Drain just got a huge investment from a private equity firm. Help people. How can you help a stranger that you met and you've got about 1 minute? Have the phenomenal talk with them. Did I have the phenomenal talk with you? Have the phenomenal talk with them. It doesn't take that long. It brightens their day. You feel better. My son recently started doing this. He said, Dad, this cashier the other day at HEB was crying. I said, I know. Because of what Brenda said, most people don't experience any kind of love. They're not even noticed today. You stop and you notice, you ask them their name and have the phenomenal talk with them. Maybe leave them a book or something. You don't know if that person might become your next rock star team member. You don't know if they might not bring the next phenomenal best client and referral source you ever had. You don't know who they know, right? Are you with me? Are y'all getting this? Okay, when you leave here, listen. You notice everybody, you connect with every single person that you can. It's not work, it's planting seed that's going to grow. And even if it grows in the kingdom of God and you never see the fruit until you show up there. Was somebody whistling or was that somebody's phone going off? Huh? Who whistled? Who was that? That was you? Wait, what's your name? Have I met you yet?
Kelly.
Kelly?
Yeah.
Kelly? Anybody want to go to West Palm Beach, Florida? We're going to go see John Torres down there, who last I checked was at $65 million. I can't keep up with him. Started with us at zero, went to $65 million. And they have a church and a coffee house, a coffee company. How many of you know that life is all about Jesus and coffee? That's what gets me up in the morning, coffee and Jesus. And we're going to do a seminar down there at their location. And we're going to do a game changer event down there, go to John Torres's place, okay? So have the phenomenal talk with them. Tomorrow I'm gonna show you a way that you can spread the message a little bit more easily. I mean, what did Mr. Ziegler tell us? You can have everything in life you want if you will just help enough other people get what it is that they want. How did I build a relationship with Ellen Rohr? I helped her, she helped me. Joseph Michelli, I help him, he helps me. Jim Cathcart, Darren Hardy, Brian Tracy, Donald Miller. I tried to get, when I saw Donald Miller and I bumped into him. I'm standing in the hallway, I'm scanning. Just call me the scanner from now on. Here he comes. He was real nice, got a picture together. I said, hey, how did I get you to my conference? He goes, well, you need to talk to my assistant. I talked to his assistant. She sends me up the chain. Well, you know, some, you know, sales guy. If he'll come, it's 50 grand. Within 2 days, he was asking me if I could get a group together for him in Houston for free. When Mr. Ziegler was with us on the earth, I used to tell him that he stole that quote, you can have everything in life you want if you just help enough other people get what it is that they want. I said, you know, you stole that from Jesus, because Jesus said, give and it'll be given back to you, pressed down, shaking together and running over. He'd just laugh and say, yeah, well, I know him personally, so it'll be all right. Stay in touch with people. Every single person you meet, whether you just do it, you know, manually and naturally through your phone, one of the things I do is when I'm going through my pictures, I remember somebody, we got a picture together, and I'm watching TV or whatever, and I just text them a picture if I haven't talked to them in a while. You just make that touch. And you never know what it might turn out to be. Denise Partridge made a sales call one time. Man was the owner of the Dale Carnegie franchise here in Houston. His name was Rick Jones. Well, Rick and I get to meet Rick through Denise, and we find out that we're both from Mobile, Alabama. We found out that we both went to the same high school, except that he's about 21 years older than me, and I'm thinking, you might be my daddy. We were training at Ziegler one time, and I had the whole room believing that I found my long-lost daddy. They were like, it was like one of those cartoons, you know, where the jaw drops, you know, and the tongue comes out. They're like, how did Rick Jones end up with us? I stayed in touch with him. I just happened, it was time. It was time. See, there's a follow-up season. Like, if you haven't talked to somebody in a while, you know, you reach out to them. Rick, Howard, long time no talk to. What are you up to? Let's have lunch. So we go have lunch. He was about to buy a coaching franchise. He was about to buy a coaching franchise in Orlando, Florida. That close. He was going to Orlando like just in 2 weeks. And I told him what was happening with Ziegler, and the rest, as they say, is history. Denise and I were with Rick and Brenda at their home in Orlando just like weekend before last or something like that. By the way, that's Princess, their dog, and she is a princess, let me tell you. Build winning relationships. We're going to do a session. Sherry Perry is going to do a session on that tomorrow afternoon. It's going to be so much fun. By the way, how do you measure a winning relationship? How do you measure a winning relationship? How do you know if it's a winning relationship? We're studying this book from Jim Collins in B2.0. I mean, in our leadership group, we're studying this book, B2.0, in our leadership group. And Jim was talking about his mentor, and he said, how do you know if you have a great relationship? And Bill thought about it for a moment. He said, well, if you were to ask each person in the relationship who benefits more from the relationship, both would answer, I do. Isn't that a bit of a selfish way to look at it? I puzzled, he said. No, the whole idea is that each person contributes so much to the relationship that both feel enriched. And then he asked Jim Collins, he said, let me ask you, Jim, who do you feel benefits more from our relationship? He said, oh, that's easy. He said, I do. He said, I would disagree. That's how I feel about Sherry. That's how Sherry feels about us. I never see Daryl Thomas, and every time I see him, he thanks me. I haven't talked to you in 6 months. What are you talking about? Dr. Robert Rome, Dr. Caroline Leaf. You got to plant and water, plant and water, plant and water, plant and water. So once you develop a relationship, you establish a relationship, you got to plant and water, and then God gives the increase. This is my original early mentor, Bill Beckham. That man sowed into my life week after week after week after week, year after year after year after year. He'll be 83 Sunday. Every time I write a book, I send it up to him, and he just encourages me and gives me feedback, and it's just a wonderful thing. You need to be that person. You need to be that. So when you start getting older, you know, I'm hanging out with people now, like some of these people I've been meeting recently, and people around me are going like, well, what are you going to get from him? I said, I'm going to learn a lot from him, but maybe there's something I can help him with. Younger guy might benefit from a few of the failures that I've had. And then invite them into your community. Invite them into your community. David Fry is just a great friend of mine. He's a referral marketing expert. I have known him now for, I don't know, maybe 10 years. We're great friends. You know how we met? Santiago, how many years ago was that? Was it more than 10, maybe 15, 20 years ago? I'm sorry? Forever ago. I mean, it was so long ago that I was sending web pages to the printer. And Santi came into the office with a stack of papers this high, and he says, you see that this guy is right here in Friendswood? I said, let me see that. I picked up the phone and called him. He answered the phone. We hit it off. We just had lunch to see how we can help each other. By the way, this is my other partner, the guy second from the left. The one with the glasses on, not Jeff, but the other guy. That's Nick, and the other people are on the team, on the franchise team. See, here's the deal. It's not what you know, and it's not who you know, and it's not who knows you. It's what they know about you. That's called positioning. It's not what you know, it's who you know. It's not who you know, it's what you know about who you know. And it's not who you know, but it's who knows you. And it's not who knows you, but it's what they know about you. How many of you have seen the movie Groundhog Day? Arrogant newscaster, weatherman, I mean, ego bigger than this hotel. He thought he was God's gift to the world until God made him. Now, it's a movie, so So in the movie, he had to replay every single day till finally it was about other people. How many of you saw that movie? Just by a show of hands. Okay. A lot of you saw it. And what happened? He ended up spending his entire day helping people because he had noticed the problems that they were having, and the entire day was helping other people. What was the result of that? All those people loved him, and he learned his lesson. The reason I bring this up is, what if you lived your day like that? You know, we think that, you know, every day is Groundhog Day, go to work, do my thing. What if you had the phenomenal talk with like 1,200 people a day, and everybody that you talked to was blessed because you noticed them, you helped them, you encouraged them, you referred them, you connected them, you hired them. I asked Brenda, you know, give me some feedback, because I was at their house, and she said, well, one of the things is that you're confident that you can help people. I thought that was very interesting. You can help anybody because most people don't know that they are phenomenal. So we're talking about team members, we're talking about clients, we're talking about associates, building your network. And one more thing that we're talking about is we're talking about referral sources. And there is one person in this room that does relationship marketing and builds relationships so fast, so deep, and has done it for so long, more than anybody that I know. So I want to welcome our next speaker up here, but we got...